Pastor Dave with a question for us to mull over.
In your life, what would you do differently right now if you weren't afraid of what people would think of you? What is it that you're like, I kind of want to do it, but I don't know what my spouse is going to think. I don't know what my friends are going to think. I don't know what other people are going to think. What if you just conquered your fear of people completely and said, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to do what I think God wants me to do. Do you want to conquer fear? Or do you want to be a slave of fear?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
What are you afraid of? Perhaps those nasty spiders or snakes or heights. Some fear what others think of them or what may happen to them if they do something. But is it wise to allow our fears to govern our lives? Today on The Balanced Word, we'll face our fears and be encouraged to step out and do something that just may scare us. God wants us to be courageous and not allow fear to keep us from experiencing all that He has for us. Here's Pastor Dave Wolf in the Proverbs, again pointing the way to smarter living that is free of fear.
Last week when I did announcements, I was talking about the Mexico trip, and I'm sure I went too far, and somebody wrote to me and was really offended because in that service, I think it was second service, I don't know, they were new, it was their first time here, and they hear the pastor get up and say, if you don't go to Mexico, you're a chicken. I'm like, okay, yeah, and I apologized for saying that. I didn't mean to communicate that. What I was trying to say was, if you don't go to Mexico because of your fear, then you are allowing fear to control what you do. And that's not how God leads us or guides us. And I'm more afraid of fear than I am of anything else that I'm afraid of, because I know how fear can steal my life. And so I would rather say, if I'm nervous about this, I think I'm just going to do it just to prove that I am not living by fear. I think that's one of the advantages of roller coasters and things like that. It's like, now you get to a certain age, like I've done the roller coasters and I know, you know, I felt that sick feeling and everything. And so I know I will do it, but after neck surgery and things like that, you know, it's probably not a great idea for me, but I have to find other things in life that make me nervous. I'll talking to a certain person or even saying something that I think needs to be said. There are all kinds of reasons why we get skittish over even just speaking the truth, because somebody's going to misunderstand it, somebody doesn't know you're joking or whatever. But the thing is, if you want to live boldly, which is the way God wants you to live, I would encourage you every once in a while, just do something just because it's scary. I mean, be wise about it. Consider the possibilities, and don't take unnecessary risks. You don't need to, like, go, well, you know, Pastor Dave, we listened to your message, so I went and jumped a motorcycle off a cliff and did a backflip. Yeah, that's not really what I have in mind. But to at least, I have a friend who emailed me, and she said, wow, I was so excited. There's this missions trip coming up, and she lives back in Detroit, and she goes, oh, I was so excited about it, but now I'm thinking about it, going over to this other country. And I said, you should do it. I said, the very fact that you're starting to have fear means you ought to do it. Don't ever let fear talk you out of stuff. Just go for it, because at the very least, you're like proving that fear doesn't rule you. I used to enjoy the old Fear Factor show, because it's like, you prove at the end that fear is evidently not a factor for you. And I think that bold living sometimes looks like, I will do something just because it scares me. We also have to understand that what I'm saying goes completely contrary to all of our societal norms today. Somewhere along the line, we have wimpified our society so much that people think they can eliminate every risk and every chance of being vulnerable that there is out there. And again, I've talked to, you know, old guys we always just like, oh boy, back in the day, you know, so fun riding in the back of a pickup truck, or, you know, when I was a kid, laying in the back speaker deck on the back of the car, and, you know, and I never, you know, we used to shoot rubber bands at anybody. I never saw anybody lose their eye, you know, or from paper airplanes and stuff. But our society thinks that we can make people absolutely safe. So we have these laws against everything. Almost everything is illegal. And, you know, it just, God isn't the one who is wanting us to always be safe. He knows that every one of us, deep down inside, needs to sometimes do things that are marginally unsafe just to still feel alive, just to feel human, rather than to just be all insulated and locked up and protected, and then we'll still figure out some way to die, even in that safe environment with all of those restrictions. Last week I was reading William Bennett's book on the first 1,000 years of church history. And again, I'm reading stories about these early martyrs in the first 2-3 centuries of the church. And what struck me so much is that these were people, whether it was an old man, you know, like Polycarp in his 90s, whether it was a young girl with a baby, every one of them, they had this courage that when the empire said, you either worship the Roman gods or you're going to be thrown to the lions, you're going to be tied to a stake and burned, you're going to be beheaded. And over again, these heroic people go, that's all you got? Go ahead. I mean, this one young gal that when they were trying to stab her and they couldn't get the knife in quite right, and she took and helped them guide it in. These were people who were like, are you kidding me? You're going to threaten me with saying I get to die for my faith like Jesus did? You're giving me and there were guys who were given an opportunity to escape. And they go, I'm not going to escape. It's an honor for me to give my life in this way. And I thought, what do you do? How do you crush a faith system that says, I don't mind dying? This week also I read an autobiography of the magician Chris Angel. And he's a fascinating, weird guy. But one of the things that he said that went along with this other thing is he said, early in my life, I decided I'm not afraid to die. And he said, if you're not afraid of death, you're not afraid of anything. And I thought, boy, that's what we're losing today. That's what, you know, yes, you take calculated risks. Yes, you use wisdom. You don't need to do things recklessly. But at the same time, if you just decide that fear is not going to be a major determining factor in what I do with my life, man, there is power there. Things that you can do, experiences that you can go through and just feel this exhilaration of having made it through and survived it. And also, then you begin to realize that, and if I feel like God's telling me to do something, I'm going to do it. Oh yeah, I'm going to feel weird about it. But I already know that's not something that's going to run my life. I'm not going to be worried about what people are going to think of me. I'm not going to be worried about what might happen to me. I'm not going to be worried about dangers that are there. Man, life is too precious for you to protect it in a nice insulated case. Man, life is meant to be lived. And especially for those of us who know that we're going to live forever. It's kind of like Lazarus after he was brought back from the dead by Jesus. What in the world could you ever threaten Lazarus with? It says the authorities were trying to get him to quit talking about being raised from the dead. What are you going to do, kill him? It won't happen that way. It's conquering death is the way of conquering fear, when we know that there's nothing that can be done that won't, in the end, send us into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over a chapter to Proverbs 29. In verse 25, Solomon says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. We have a clear choice. Am I going to be afraid of people, or am I going to trust in the Lord? Am I going to know that he has me, that I will be safe because he has me? If you think about that list of things that Chapman University said that these people that took the test are afraid of, almost all of them involve, I'm afraid of people. I'm afraid of what they might do. I'm afraid of what might happen as a result of their choices. Allowing a fear of people to dictate what you do. Now, every one of us knows that feeling of like, man, I could do this, but I'm afraid I'm going to feel stupid. I'm afraid I'm going to look bad to people. I'm afraid somebody's going to say something bad about me or misunderstand me. It's something that, as a pastor, I mean, I live with it every single week. You know, I hate offending people. I hate hurting people. Somebody comes to church for the first time, I don't want them to go away thinking that I'm a bad person or something. And yet, I can't tell the truth without knowing that it's going to offend somebody. And so it's like, man, if I say this, I know a bunch of people will probably just leave and never come back. But I'm more afraid of having God go, Dave, I laid that on your heart. Why didn't you say it? Why are you being such a phony just because you're worried about what people think of you? I thought you were trying to please me. I didn't think you were trying to please people. But the fear of man is always the decision to not trust God. See, because God promises that he is pleased with us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so, do I trust him enough in order for me to say, I'm nervous about what people, I care what people think of me. Anybody who, there's something wrong with you if you're not nervous about people and what they're going to do and what they're going to think. But man, ultimately, fearing people will always push you into a corner where now you are no longer trusting in God. Serious question for you. In your life, what would you do differently right now if you weren't afraid of what people would think of you? What is it that you're like, I kind of want to do it, but I don't know what my spouse is going to think. I don't know what my friends are going to think. I don't know what other people are going to think. What if you just conquered your fear of people completely and said, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to do what I think God wants me to do. Do you want to conquer fear? Or do you want to be a slave of fear? I would encourage you to at least consider doing some things that you're afraid of. Stop living your life being obsessed with safety, because what's going by is your life. You're throwing your life away because you think you're trying to protect your life. And, Jesus made it really clear. No, if you want to gain your life, you need to lose it. If you lose your life, you'll find out you're actually gaining it. It's exactly the opposite of what it seems. And here's the thing. A lot of times, the reason we're afraid, ultimately what we're afraid of is I'm afraid of being wrong. I'm afraid that I'll make a decision and it'll turn out to be a bad decision. If you are a Christian, if you follow Jesus, you remember what Romans 8:28 says? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It is the most ridiculous insurance policy ever that you cannot mess it up. You can do things that cause damage to come into your life, no doubt about it. We all have choices. The amazing thing is, even where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. If you have a heart that's set after pleasing God, anything that you do, if it turns out, wow, I thought that was God, now I'm thinking it probably wasn't God. So what? Don't freak out. Don't be so worried about being wrong about something. God already, in fact, if I look back at my life and I think of big decisions I've made, I still don't know if they were the right decisions or the wrong decisions, because I can look at it and say, if I had done this differently, wow, I wouldn't be in the position of having the blessings that I have. But how do I know that I didn't just do something really stupid and Romans 8:28 came along and God goes, I'll fix that? See, that's the great thing. That's why we shouldn't live in fear, because we trust a God who is able not only to speak to us, but to fix the damage that we do, to turn our stupid mistakes into something that makes it look brilliant. That's the God that we serve. And because of that insurance, boy, we should be fearless, because we can know when I think I'm doing the right thing, it's going to work out fine. Even if it's the wrong thing, it doesn't matter. That's not up to me. That's not depending on me. God does such a good job of mopping up after me that I look back at it and think that I did something good. You know, obeying God. Remember, all these promises are to people who are righteous, people who are doing it right. The spiritual disciplines are really important in helping us combat this evil fear that comes up around everything in our lives. Think of Paul and Silas when they were in prison in Philippi after being beaten and locked up in a dank prison, and they were down there singing praise songs, and the Lord came and just shook the prison and got them loose, got the jailer saved and everything. Sometimes just to worship God reminds you of those eternal truths of God. And all of a sudden, when you feel afraid and you begin to praise God and worship Him, your courage picks up. Other things that God tells us to do, reading His Word. There are sometimes when I'm just nervous about something, so I read what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when I read His Word, I become encouraged. I gain courage. My fear begins to fall away when I'm reminded of how much God loves me. And when I'm reminded of His eternal love, perfect love that casts out fear, it does something to me. Fellowship that He tells me, you know, we always harp on, you should be in a small group. You definitely need to be in fellowship with other Christians. One of the reasons why that's so important is that if I'm with other people talking with them, they can put courage in me. I can be having second thoughts, I can be nervous, and somebody else comes along. If you're in the right group of friends, and you need to be careful to get with the right people, you want to be with people who encourage you, who make you bolder to do. If you're going, I'm thinking about this, but I'm kind of nervous about it, and they're like, do it. Do it. Go on. You can do this. It's what we need. And really, that includes going off and praying. Prayer can give us courage and conviction and bravery and, you know, all those things. And, you know, getting off and spending time alone with God does that. Sometimes there may be a time when God calls you to fast or something else. Bringing our lives into the control of the Spirit is one of the greatest ways to take our fear and say, sorry, I'm not going to decide what to do with my life based on fear. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to be confident in Him. I'm going to decide now, I want to do whatever it is that He's calling me to do in my life, and fear will not be the factor that causes me not to do anything. Again, if, like, you don't want to go to Mexico, that's okay. The idea that this one gal got was that I think everybody should go. No, of course not. There are a bunch of reasons to not go to Mexico, but one of them shouldn't be because you're afraid. That's all. There are a bunch of reasons for you not to volunteer for children's ministry or to help on the fall festival, but fear shouldn't be one of them. It's like, don't decide by fear. Grab life by the throat and live it with courage. Almost everything that you fear, if you end up doing it, none of the stuff that you worried about will even happen. And you'll go, wow, I did it. I made it through that. Let's commit to live life with courage. Now, all of this kind of presupposes that you're right with God. It's safe to do anything if you have God watching your back. If He is speaking to you, if He is helping and encouraging you, and you know that He will cover for you when you mess up. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, oh man, you're missing out on the greatest life you could ever have. And it's true, even if you don't believe in Jesus, you shouldn't live your life based on fear. That's just a way to waste your life, just fritter it away, and it's all gone. And like, well, what'd you do with your life? Well, I was really safe. But there's a risk that you're taking with your soul if you don't get right with God. Because God sent his son, Jesus, to die for you, and he rose from the dead, and he declared that if you will believe in him, you're forgiven, your life can be guided by him, and it will continue on into eternity. That's the promise. It's unconditional. He doesn't say if you're good enough or you're strong enough or you're talented enough. He goes, no, if you will let me, I will give you a whole new life. I will bless you and make your life better than you could ever imagine. And if you've made that decision and accepted Jesus, then you have no reason to fear anything. If you reject him, well, you're making a really unwise decision when what he promises you is for free. But if that's you and you're not sure whether you're right with God, really, so you don't have that guarantee, then I pray that today you'll just decide, maybe you've rejected accepting Jesus because you're afraid. You're afraid he'll make you a weirdo. You're afraid of what people will think of you. You're afraid all your fun will be over. None of that's true. The truth is, your life will just begin, and you will have a source of courage that you've never had before. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He promises to do that for you if you ask. And if you've never made that decision, there'll be people down here in the front who would just love to pray with you. It's free. There's no strings attached. It's simply you telling God, you can forgive me. You can love me. I'll buy into that. And you will. If you get things right with God today, you will find a great deal of courage and conviction to be able to move forward in your life and finally fix a lot of those things that you've been knowing you need to fix, but you've just been afraid to deal with it. You're afraid to say it. You're afraid to actually take action. He'll give you the courage because he will give you the knowledge that if you are trusting in him, that if you mess it up, he'll fix it, he'll forgive it, and you'll start fresh. And you can be that free if you just give your life to him. So I pray that if you've never done that, that you would. For the rest of us this week, let's just live boldly. Let's just stop being such paranoid people. Let's stop feeling like guilty when we're not doing anything. Live life of conviction and courage and bravery. Do something this week. Please do something this week that scares you, just to prove that you are not living your life out of fear.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's 1-Minute Messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With a closing prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and for the fact that you have made it safe for us to face our fears and to tell them sorry. You don't tell me how to live. For people who don't know you, I pray that they will understand really clearly that their life can start over today and they can be forgiven if they give you permission to love them. work in their hearts by your Spirit and help them to know, even though this sounds too good to be true and even though there are elements of it that might seem scary, that this is where life can begin if they make that simple choice to receive you. And for all of us, God, I pray that this week, since we've been looking at these scriptures, that we would start noticing how many of the things we do because we're afraid, and help us to not do things for that reason. Help us to live boldly, courageously, trusting in the God who makes it safe for us to just be ourselves. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe will be talking about government and leadership as we have another look into the Proverbs. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.